9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Where were you born?
I was born in Visalia, California.
Did you know your grandparents?
Yes, I knew my grandparents on both sides real well. They all lived in Inyo County in Bishop. And later on, of course, the family still there became part of the tremendous fight for water between that area and Los Angeles City. My father had become sheriff just before I was born, and when I was 10 days old, he was out with the sheriffs of Kern County and Inyo County, who was also my uncle, looking for the man that had murdered someone in Bakersfield. And my mother had no idea where he was or what he was doing. She knew what he was doing, but in those days, communications weren't working out today. And eventually they went back to Bakersfield thinking that the murderer might have gone back because he had a girlfriend there, and they found him in a house. And he shot one of the sheriff of Kern County, who was the father of Lawrence Tibbetts, the wonderful singer. And so then the other men who were left on the outside had to determine what to do next, and obviously somebody had to go in. And there was a feeling of all of the officers that the person went in wouldn't come out, but that it had to be done. And so the men got together and drew straws and decided who should go in, and told my father that, and he said that he could go in. That and he took his oath for the office that he had pledged that he would protect his men. And so he did go in, but fortunately the murderer was trying to get out the back door at that time, and so he was safe. But the story of my father's courage and sense of duty, I didn't know until just a few years ago. My a cousin up in the valley happened to sit next to somebody at a lunch stand, and the cousin said, "Was he Colonel Will Collins?" And he said, "Yes, I was one of the officers living that night." And then he told the story. But my childhood was very uneventful and happy.
How did your father get to be sheriff? What did he do before that?
Well, he was elected sheriff, and he was sheriff for many years, but he was with Miller and Lutz, a great big concern that owned practically all of the wheat fields in Tulare and Kern County. That was, I can remember his telling about going over to supervising this great big area and of either on horseback or in a buggy, because of course that's all they had in those days, and you're traveling that way. The distance between Tulare, which is where the family lived then, and Bakersfield, for example, is quite a big jump. But this is all before my time.
Where did your family camp come from before they came to California?
My mother was the first, was born in Inyo County. Her oldest brother was the first white child born in Inyo County. So I'm really a pioneer stock, and my grandmother came to California when she was a little girl, 5 years old, and then in 49, and she had told me stories about the circle I would make at night, and then they finally landed in worked in California up near Gilroy and lived in a 32-room house. And I'm sure that this was an L, a U-shaped house with the stables and barns and all kinds of things in the back part. And my father came to California when he was a very small boy. My grandfather and several brothers had fought the Civil War on the northern side, and I assume they came here soon after that just because times were hard in Ohio. And they settled into Hasty, and it was a tiny little mining town. So I'm pretty much a Californian on both sides.
For the record, I should ask you, what was your mother's family name?
Louise Clark. And my father was William Wallace Collins. So I got the Wallace in the middle of my name.
You said your father was elected sheriff. Was he involved in politics?
Not before that. But I think in those days it was almost a pretty simple procedure. He wanted the job, obviously was excellent at it, and people just got behind him and elected him.
No, it wasn't a partisan position then?
No.
He wasn't a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh, he was a Republican. Oh, I, you know, my family were Republicans. And I can remember my grandfather, Collins, who was the person who fought in the Civil War, when I was just a youngster, passing by as he was talking to somebody, and he said, the most tragic thing that ever happened to me was when Charlie, who was my father's older brother, became a Democrat. Times changed, because of course I am a Democrat. And, but it had a very definite connotation. I suppose at that time I hadn't realized that it was that strong. But I expect he wasn't the only one that felt that way.
You mentioned the struggle between that area and Los Angeles for water. Was your father involved in that?
No, not at all. But I had, well, my grandmother still lived there, my grandmother Clark, and I had relatives on both my father's brother and my mother's brothers lived there. And, of course, like so many of the people who hadn't lived there for so many years, they lost a great deal. One of my uncles was a rancher, and they finally moved to the Westside area on another ranch.
Do you remember any kind of activity related to looking for or drilling for oil when you were growing up?
No. My only activity was that every so often, when my father would buy a little piece of land with some other people someplace in hopes that that would be the big find. And so we had, he had a bit of mining stock, and then theoretically an oil property in quotes up in Kern County. I still have two of those pieces of land, and of course they don't amount to anything. Never will, I'm sure.
The oil development was going on around.
Yes, but not close to, I say it. The oil development was all around, all in Kern County, all around Taft. That was the big oil center, as it were. Of course, we got a little part of it. That's where the activity was.
Where did you go to school?
Oh, I went to the public schools in Virginia. Of course, I say public schools, those were the only ones to go to, and naturally I would have anyhow. But, and then I went to North College, where I got my bachelor's degree. Then I went to what is now the University of Pittsburgh to get my master's in library science.
What were the public schools of Barcelona like?
I don't know that I can really describe them. I suppose that they would really be very different from most schools any place now. But I think the thing that made schools different from Long Beach, for example, as it is today, is that it's just a small place and we knew each other so well, and my teachers very often were friends of my family or people that I knew when they became my teachers because my older sisters had gone to them and that kind of a thing. It was a, I think it was a delightful time really to grow up and to grow up in a little town when life was so smooth and easy and there weren't these problems. My parents never had to decide the kinds of the things that parents have to decide today in relation to their youngsters. It's all pretty much routine. It's just a wholesome way for kids. If that's the kind of environment you can grow into, and of course in those days it was. I can remember how absolutely horrified my father was and a few other leaders of the community because an attorney got a divorce. And they felt that it would kill his whole career. And they were just really morally shocked that a man of his family would walk away from a marriage because of good qualities and bad qualities, I suppose.
What do you mean people didn't have to make decisions like they do today? What sort of decisions?
Well, the ethical decisions and the moral decisions people grew up and got married and established a home, and they didn't have to go through the process of deciding whether they bothered to get married or not because everybody did. And the political decisions, my family were Republicans and they voted the Republican ticket, and when it came to the men, which of course was always in those days men running, my father would tell my mother how to vote because of course he was out in the community and he knew people much better. But I can remember that very often when it was an issue, she would studied it and suggested to him how to vote. And if you were Republican, you were a Republican, and that was it. There was just the assumption that the good life, as it was in this country at that time, would continue. I surely couldn't even understand the problems that we are confronted with as a nation and individually. And of course they couldn't possibly understand the standard of living that even average people like I am are able to maintain.
What's different about the standard of living that people lived by when you were growing up?
We didn't have very much money. And there weren't very many people in the community that did in comparison to what we have today. If we took a trip to, it was probably to the city, which was San Francisco in those days, or else over to Inyo County to see relatives. But this was something important and something else had to give a bit. I can remember our first car and the luxury. I can remember before that that we had a horse and a carriage and I think it's really quite surprising that in one lifetime there's been such complete changes. And of course I think a lot of it comes from technological changes. My grandmother came across the country in a covered wagon and of course could have flown back had she chose when she was an old woman. Maybe that's sort of typical of how we have been rushed into other ways of living, which for you are perfectly normal, aren't they?
Well, to some extent. How many people were in your family?
Well, I have two older sisters. One of them died. This little sister died when she was in high school. And then very often a grandfather or grandmother would be visiting us for a long period of time.
There were three children.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to grammar school in Blackville,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And high school?
High school. Mm-hmm.
And
then to Mills College and then to Pittsburgh.
Did the high school in Blackville prepare you for life at Mills College? So close to the city?
Yes. No, I don't think the high school did. I do think that that really would come probably from one's own family life. But being close to the city, didn't mean what it does today. One of the reasons I went to Mills was because I was rather a immature kid, and it was a small college, and I thought my parents thought that this would be a more comfortable transition for me. But the city, and of course it's sort of isolated, as you know, I was in, but the city was just a place that we went pretty light, across the bay and the ferry, and then a whole day in San Francisco, or a whole evening, as it were. But again, obviously not the complex kind of living that there is today.
But you must have noticed the difference between what it was like to live in Oakland and what it was like to live in Blackville.
I suppose so, but apparently it really wasn't. Would be tremendously different. And I suppose if I had gone there to melt into the life of the community, I perhaps might have been more aware of the differences. But to me, the great difference was between being in a college and away from home. And this is the kind of adjustment that I think most young people made at that time.
Yeah. Were your parents educated people? Did they expect you to go to college, or was
this
a new thing?
It was a new thing, but they certainly expected us to go to college. My father, and I expect my mother too, went to what might be called a city college today. They both had some education above high school, but neither of them were college graduates.
So that was just a little bit of upward mobility, or?
Yes, one would call it that. Of course, one doesn't ever think of one's own life in sociological terms. But they were wonderful people. And they were the kind of people that everybody came to if they had a problem. Both my father and my mother. I'm very proud of them. Made a great big impression, I'm sure, on everyone they met, and especially on the county in which I lived.
Specifically, what kind of problems would your mother help people with?
Personal problems. Someone who would be able to know what to do. My father, of course, all kinds of problems. I have them. My only lesson in bigotry. Would you like me to tell you about that? In the Huera County at that time, there was a little town that had been formed by Negroes. Everyone in the town was a Negro. And they would mix with other communities to the extent that maybe the Glee Club would go to another school and so forth. But it was quite isolated, and when I was in high school, my father was in a train accident and lost a leg. And of course, people from all over the county came to see him. And after he was home from the hospital one day, the mayor of this town came, all very properly dressed and in a very dignified kind of a way. It was the first time I had seen a black person well dressed, and we didn't have very many black people in the city. And after he had gone, I made some childish like remark, you know, that was probably unkind and a bit facetious. And my father, who was a very quiet, very gentle man, didn't say anything for a few minutes. And I can still remember the silence. And then he said, "Blanche, that gentleman is a friend of mine, and it hurts me to have you say that about him." But I think that started to indicate the kind of a person he was.
What was the name of the town?
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. Were there people of Mexican descent around?
Somewhat. I remember more Chinese. All of our, what we call vegetable gardens, truck gardens, were Chinese. And they, their wagons would come around every two or three days, and the ladies would go out and get what they wanted. And at Christmas time, we always got gifts from Chinese people my father knew. And, beautiful bowls with China lilies in them. And tea sets. And I suppose if I saved any of those today, they would be collector's items. And there were some Armenians. I can remember Armenians in our class at school. The largest section of Armenians, of course, was up around Fresno. But there were minority Italians, good many Italians, some Portuguese. And it was a time when we had a long way to go. We consider ourselves a bit above them.
Who harvested the crops? Do you remember?
My father had an orange orchard for so many years. Not migratory workers as we know them today. Very often, people, tramps as we call them, who would come along and get jobs in the ranches. I really don't know. I suppose when the oranges had to be picked, there would be, and it might have been migratory workers on a very superficial scale, but it wasn't a large problem as it is today.
And they weren't, you know, all Chicano or all...
No. There was some Chinese, there was some Orientals, and people from India.
Oh, yeah.
In that area. But not very many, I expect, that I can remember. They're working on the road.
Did your family go to church when you were growing up?
My mother went to church. My father went to church very occasionally because my mother wanted him to. but he was the finest Christian I've ever known.
What church did your mother go to?
The Presbyterian. And of course, I went to Sunday school and all those things. I went to church religiously, and it meant a good deal to me until I was in college. And I was doing social work and, a very poor area of Oakland, and then I went to church on Sunday. The streetcar would go through that area on the edge of it to get into town and into Oakland. And I became very aware that church going was something one did, but that it didn't seem to matter too much to the churches or the church people, church members, that there'd be sore spots, these horrible spots in their community. And I stopped going to church, and I have gone, there have been periods in my life where maybe I've gone for a few months, but I just felt that wasn't the way. Of course, I was young and I was impressionable, and it really incensed me that they had beautiful hats. I expect I had one too, but that was a little different.
Where did you study at Mills College that led you to social work?
Oh, I don't think any of my studies did especially, but this was one of the things that one could do for, I suppose, maybe just extracurricular activities. And I did, because I think I've always been interested in people primarily. It would be a logical thing for me to do.
What sort of social work did you do when it?
I can't even remember any more time how the poor people were and did something like that.
Were they poor white people or poor minority people or?
White people, primarily. We weren't aware of if there were, minority elements.
What did you study in college then?
Just the usual liberal arts.
And how did you get from just the usual liberal arts course to deciding to go to library school? I assume that's what you did in Pittsburgh.
Well, I suppose I was impressionable when I was real young, and I had quite a time deciding what I wanted to do, what my profession should be, and about every other week I found a new one, and very enthused over that for a little while. And I was still looking hard when I was, I guess, a junior in college. And a friend who was, realized that she was going to be a librarian, had been to a library meeting in San Francisco and came back to the campus and said, "Blank, how don't you be a children's librarian? I know you'd like that." And I said, "Well, what do they do?" And this was before there were children's librarians in little towns and so forth. And she said, "Oh, they tell stories to children." And I thought, gee, that would be fun. And so I became a librarian at that very moment. And went back to Pittsburgh, because at that time it was by far the best school in the only one that really specialized in children's work. And then, of course, I grew out of that period. But it was a good place to begin. It was a fun time.
You said that when you were growing up, decisions were easier to make and things like that. But why did you decide to be a professional person rather than to get married and follow the pattern that other people around you followed?
Well, I don't think that I blocked out marriage. It's just that, at least at that time, one assumed one would have both, and in the meantime, one did something like teach school and or something. So that was how it was, just a normal kind of a growing up for me, since my parents really wanted me to go to college.
And didn't Pittsburgh seem like a long way to go?
A very long way to go. And I suspect my parents really had a bit misgivings, maybe. And I know that it was a financial drain for them to send me way back there. I can't remember having misgivings about going. I can remember the trip back. I had to change in Chicago. And, of course, my only train trips before then were between Vaishali and Oakland. And I can remember getting off the train and thinking, gosh, what do I do now? And then I thought, these signs have to be made for people lot dumber than I am. All I have to do is to look at them. But it was interesting. There was a... the school had a dormitory where about 10 or 12 of us lived, and the usual dormitory kind of life, and not new to me because, of course, I lived in dormitory on the campus for 4 years that I was in college.
And what did you think about living here in Eastern City?
It was fascinating for me. The most fascinating thing was that I knew sometime it would get cold and snow, and I'd never seen a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw my first snowstorm in Pittsburgh, and a couple of the girls wakened in the middle of the night and realized it was snowing and came in and woke me up and got me to a window, and I can remember standing there shivering in my nightgown while I watched this coming down. And then I spent the Christmas vacation with cousins in Washington, and it was a snowy time, and I was just excited over the beauty of that white snow and those dark green trees.
You lived that close to the Sierras, and that was the first time you saw snow?
Yes, we used to. Oh, I had seen it on the mountaintop from a distance, but that's different than touching it or crunching it under your feet. One of the things I learned about cold that I never knew before was how easy you could fall down. I had quite a time when the sidewalks, you know, would get icy, and we were probably slipped too, but whenever I fell down, wherever I was living, the girls would just stand around and say, "Well, she's from California, you can't expect her to know how to do things like this."
Were most of the people in your class at library school women?
Yes. As I remember it, there were maybe a couple of men, but this was very unusual, and it's really been comparatively recently that there have been men of any number in our profession.
Were all the people in your class studying to be children's librarians?
No, it was divided. There were children's librarians and school librarians and general librarians. And as I remember, the first semester, we all took pretty much the same courses, background courses. And then,
did you ever work while you were growing up or before you...
No, I didn't work because my family wasn't a wealthy family at all. The money never preceded other things, but the cost of things had to be weighed, and but my father didn't think the girls should work, and he would have had to be very, very poor before one of his daughters would have gone to work, and it would have been a tremendously humiliating experience for him, which is a shame, isn't it, because there's such valuable things can happen to young people now.
You think he would have felt differently if he had sons?
Yes, I expect the sons could have mowed other people's lawns and done such jobs as that, sort of little neighborhood jobs, but I can't remember any of my girlfriends that ever had a job, like babysitting. I suppose people wouldn't pay for babysitting in those days. You know, there was always a neighbor or somebody, and where did you go out very much at night anyway?
So you graduated from library school,
mm-hmm.
and then you got a job, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get your first job?
The school got it for me. And I wanted to come back to California, and the president of the school knew that it was a small school, maybe 50 or 60 of us, and very informal. Lovely woman who was the president, there was senior youth that's opening here, and so I came. And here I stayed, much to my surprise.
You were headed to move on?
Well, I don't think I thought much about it, but it was fairly surprising to be in a profession for someone who lived at the same place. But then, of course, Long Beach changed, and my job changed, and so this was not a debilitating experience. One of the roommates I had when I was in Pittsburgh became librarian in a small Eastern college because she wanted vacation and smaller hours, and her life was just that deadening all through. In a small Eastern college, it wouldn't be nearly as big as one of our high schools. And I've been so fortunate in the kinds of opportunities I've had in my profession and in the environment in which I have lived, because we do have a wonderfully rich environment in Southern California.
What year did you first come to Long Beach?
I came to Long Beach in 1926.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been here before?
Yes. This was one of the places, I guess the only place that my family vacationed when we were growing up. It got so very hot up in the valley, and we spent a month in Long Beach because it was such a quiet place. It was nice for a woman to be alone with her children.
In other words, you came with your mother.
We would have them. I guess we always had little apartments because I can sort of see them in flashbacks. And sometimes another family, another mother and children. I guess the fathers just have vacations very often in those days. At least in the kind of level that our family was in.
So, when you came to Long Beach, were you hired directly as a children's librarian? And when was your first trip?
The first, I was down at the main library just a little while, and then at the Alameda branch, which then was a funny little house. And I laid out at the branch, and at what used to be the East Long Beach branch, which sat down at the district and I was older. And then I became that librarian. And then I became head of the science and the industry department, which just surprises me. I never have thought of promotion, which perhaps shows that something's lacking in me. That Mrs. Dorothy, librarian at that time, asked me to assume the responsibility, and I hesitated quite a while and said, well, let me try it for 6 months, and then if you were displeased or if I don't like it, we'll readjust. But we didn't readjust. And then I became assistant to the librarian in charge of branches, which was an exciting time because the city had just voted for several new branch buildings, which were badly needed, but it struck me this is kind of a thing that the taxpayers have to never vote for today. And the plan was that the money would come from our up and oil wells that the city had. So I was in charge of building 5 new branch libraries, plus all of the other work. I was the first assistant librarian in charge of branch libraries. There hadn't been a head, a supervisor before that. It was a wonderfully stimulating job. We had a grand branch of branch librarians, a grand group of branch librarians, and professionally it was just great. We went lots of places together professionally, as it were, I mean, in our minds, and we all helped to build what I think has been a wonderfully good library branch system.
So, if you came in 1926, the oil boom was already on.
Yes. Just a few years before, wasn't it? 23 or something.
Yeah.
I remember it was when I was in college.
And then the city must have been really different than when you came here on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Even then, yes, it had grown to 65,000 people. But it was still small in Tampa Bay, for example.
Okay, you started out at the main library, at the children's library.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you there?
I don't really remember. Not very long. It was probably just to give me a bit of background before I was put in there, I guess.
And then went to
Alameda. I went to Burnett, and someplace along the way I got off to the East Long Beach Branch.
What was it like at Alameda?
Oh, it was just a strange little building with a librarian who wasn't a trained librarian. He started growing up, and so she owned that building, that whole community. And I guess I shouldn't tell some of the details. It was a bad place for me to begin because I had to come out with so much idealism and enthusiasm and went out there and really didn't have the opportunity to grow professionally or to do the kind of work I really wanted to do. But I had plenty of time afterwards.
How did this person get to be in
those days, there really weren't very many librarians around that had gone to library school. And then the state began having certificated librarians and so on, and sort of blanketed these people in. So that she was the exception, even at that time. There were some foreign people in the system for me to learn from.
But she had what maybe started the Alameda branch, or what?
Well, she may have. I really don't know. It was a long time ago. A lot of other things have come into the picture since.
Was it different at Burnett?
Yes, it was a new building. There's a building that went down in the X-ray, wasn't replaced. But then I had the fun of planning the building that is there now, or help planning it. It was a new building and it was very different. My supervisor was a fine librarian and a wonderful woman. She became a close friend.
About how large were these branch libraries at that time?
Well, of course, that would have been in the 30s. Then. I was just trying to remember there would be the large reading room with comparatively large, at least, with the children's on one side and adult on the other, which is very comparable to now. And then there was a small workroom. And there probably was a little staff room. I don't know that they were so different from our branches now, except they were much smaller.
And what kind of things did you do with the children's library?
Oh, I visited the school across the street, and I had a story hour once a week, and I chose the books for that library under the supervision of the supervisor of children's work. It meant that I would be downtown at the main library some. And it wasn't very different from now, except that I suppose it was really on a less sophisticated area. But I did some adult work too, of course. A good deal of adult work. I can remember going home with stacks of books trying to catch up on adult reading as well as the children's reading.
What kind of relationship did you have with the school? Did they not have their own library, or?
They had their own libraries, and much better than now when I came to Long Beach, even that long ago, the Long Beach school system was famous because it had such an excellent a system of school libraries. And one of the disheartening things is that during my professional life, I've seen that dwindle and dwindle until today. It's not comparable at all. But there was still plenty for main libraries to do. We felt that we supported each other rather than separate ways, as it were.